Welcome, everyone. My name is Michael, and this is Thea, and we are going to present our research project, Establishing and Maintaining the Clinical Learning Environment for Nursing Students, Unit Beliefs and Processes. The study was done under the supervision of Louise Murray and Jane Chambers Evans. We will give a brief introduction to the study. We will describe our methods, and then we will present our results and discussion. So, experience in the clinical setting is seen as an essential part of nursing education. It provides opportunities for circumstantial learning and professional socialization. However, evidence suggests that student experience varies widely, and they can experience anything from acceptance to alienation on the clinical unit. Within them, UHC, anecdotal reports collected by nursing administrators suggest variability in the ability or willingness of units to accept students, and clinical evaluation forms completed by students indicate variability as well. Principles of adult learning and studies of students' clinical experience are the foundation of what we understand to be a good learning environment. A supportive and inviting environment is expected to facilitate students' learning, and students have identified that the receptiveness of nursing staff affected their anxiety, sense of well-being, and their capacity to learn. Ideally, the preceptor will nurture and support, facilitate exposure, evaluate student learning, and provide accurate, timely feedback. However, studies of preceptorship have focused mostly on the experiences of preceptors, usually with recruitment or retention to this role in mind. Preceptors describe their perceptions of the role and some benefits and detriments of the experience. So why are we interested in beliefs? An understanding of beliefs about learning, motivation, feedback, learning environment, and other topics have been considered crucial for understanding education phenomena because of their potential to influence the approaches taken by those in teaching and decision-making positions. However, we have limited knowledge of preceptor beliefs regarding the clinical learning environment, and the perspective of unit management and advanced practice nurses is absent. With this in mind, the purpose of our study is to provide a description of the beliefs and processes that emerge at the unit level regarding the clinical learning environment for students. We ask, A, how do units who have been identified as either having established or emerging abilities to accept students collectively conceptualize an ideal learning environment? How do formal and informal nurse leaders develop and implement processes expected to impact the student learning environment? And how are barriers and facilitators to creating or sustaining this environment overcome at the unit level? We chose to use a multiple case study design where each unit under study was a case. We recruited 4 units, 2 units with an established ability to accept students and 2 units with an emerging ability to accept students. Established units were ones that had previously demonstrated a keen interest in accepting students, which was manifested by their continuing acceptance of students or a demonstration to nursing administrators or the learning institution of interest in student outcomes. Emerging units were those who may not have such an established history of accepting students but have indicated they'd like to accept more. We conducted focus groups, semi-structured focus group interviews with each unit. The aim was to have the nurse manager present and at least one assistant nurse manager and at least one RN with precepting experience, and we analyzed our data with qualitative content analysis. Our samples included, every interview had the nurse manager and assistant nurse manager and at least one RN. 2 interviews had 2 RNs, 2 had an NPDE, and 1 had a CNS. So 2 core themes describing the unit's beliefs and perceptions about the ideal learning environment emerged through our analysis. The first is influencing factors, which you can see along the outside. This included elements that either inform the unit's beliefs about the ideal learning environment or affect their ability to provide it. This theme had 2 sub-themes, which were cultural factors and contextual factors. The second major theme was willingness, which is on the inside. This referred to elements of investment in students and fleshed out in more detail their beliefs about an ideal learning environment. It has 3 sub-themes, openness, which has the categories being welcoming and helping students become part of the team, taking them under wing, and structuring to meet goals, which has the categories facilitation and exchange of information. I will now describe the first theme, influencing factors. First sub-theme in influencing factors, cultural factors. Was cultural factors. Participants from all units said they attempt to create a culture on their unit that is open and welcoming to students. However, the beliefs underlining this effort suggested two distinct cultures. The cultures were based on the unit's beliefs about their investment in students, which will be described further in the theme willingness. One culture views their investment in students as a vehicle for recruitment. This was a widely held belief on the unit and helped determine how students were treated. When asked what their unit's strengths were with regards to hosting students, participants said, "We recruit them." The second culture was a culture of valuing students. Participants from this culture related their approach to students based on their experience as students when they were learning. They believed students enjoyed their unit because of their approach, and they perceived since they had students so often that they were able to embrace having students, and it's become routine. Students were no longer seen as a burden. Within both cultures, participants stressed the importance of leadership in maintaining their culture. There was a perception that without leadership support, the learning environment would disappear. The second sub-theme in influencing factors was contextual factors, and these were related to the institution of study, the unit, or the student herself. Some participants identified the institution because they perceived that different institutions had different learning styles, and this may affect the student's ability to integrate on the unit. Some participants had the perception that the presence of a teacher cocooned students, and whereas those who were alone had to rely more on the floor, had more initiative, and integrated better. However, participants from several units also said that having a familiar teacher was beneficial. They made everyone feel comfortable, communicated well with the staff, which facilitated elements that we will see in the theme willingness. Participants identified many factors that were specific to their unit. The patient population was one factor. Participants said the patients with a high level of physical needs provided a lot of learning opportunities for students, and that having different kinds of patients allowed them to learn different things and develop different care plans. Staffing was another influencing factor. When the unit was short staffed, stress increased and time for students decreased. Also, not every nurse was seen as being a good preceptor, and most units had methods in place to choose the best ones, usually through collecting student feedback. The number of students on the floor at one time could be a barrier. Most units put a limit on the amount of students on the unit, and some may even rearrange the nursing assignment to accommodate precepting nurses. Some qualities of the student were also seen as influencing factors. Participants believed that students were adult learners and therefore responsible and accountable for their own learning. Sveja will now go into the second major theme, willingness.
So willingness was about a set of beliefs that related to investment in students, where you were accounting for their weaknesses, their vulnerability, their needs, their learning goals. And there was an expected return, as we discussed already, in culture. And what that was would depend on the culture around how students and why students were valued. So in willingness, what's happening is the unit's making some kind of an effort. There's a set of actions taken that are for the good of the student. And as a result, there's some kind of benefit to the unit that's falling out from that. So we'll look at the three major sub-themes within this theme of willingness, and those are openness, taking them under wing, and structuring to meet goals. So to start with openness, to define it with some kind of imagery, it encompassed an entrance being provided to students, the spirit in which that door is open to them, and the social and organizational world that the door opens onto. There was two categories that we identified within openness, and those are being welcoming and helping students become part of the team. To put it symbolically, kind of being welcoming was about inviting students in. So here you're opening a door, but you're opening it with a smile. And it could be described, what's happening is immersion, is what's believed to be important by the units. It's also related to what is that unit really like. What was seen as important by units is that it's a friendly unit. Staff are friendly with each other. There are close relationships on the unit, and people on the unit support one another. Helping students become part of the team, the second category, was symbolically pulling up a chair for them at the table, giving them a role, expanding what team membership meant so that students were part of that and had real membership in the team. And the word for it is something about integration as opposed to the immersion of being welcoming. So it could be seen as maybe an ideological next step following from being welcoming, but actually these were things that were happening simultaneously on the unit, and there was quite a bit of integration between the two in terms of the actions. So being welcoming meant demeanor, being friendly, being respectful, intentionally adopting sometimes a casual and friendly approach, and that was done by preceptors and by administrators, but was really stressed by administrators and managers. The idea that the important outcome that would come from that is that students will get the impression they can approach anyone. So it comes out in this quote where they're saying what we're fostering is learning through that welcoming, because they'll feel open enough to be able to ask questions and to approach people. Helping students become part of the team was through inviting them to take part in services and rounds and so on, but it also was about valuing their participation, really reflecting that value back to them, the worth of their ideas and their efforts. And the goal there was to have them really experience and feel team membership, and the confidence that would come along with that team membership was talked about. The second major sub-theme within willingness was taking them under wing. So this is about providing some protection for students. It'd be protection against stress, against negative experiences, maybe against negative preceptors, and about determining who those preceptors are was here. So feedback was a component, choosing appropriate preceptors, making attempts to change the way preceptorship is done on an individual basis. This was about accommodating a special learner status for students on the unit, accommodating their questions and their needs. And that comes out in this quote where we're saying allowing them to be a student, to be who they are, letting them be at the level that they're at and feel comfortable. So the opinion of the units was that through taking them under wing, students would feel an increased sense of self-worth, better student contributions would occur, and there'd be improved learning. And one respondent also mentioned that negative workplace experiences might actually be learning experiences for some of the students, so this was some disagreement that we saw within the results and something to explore further. The third major sub-theme in willingness was structuring to meet goals, and here it's about attempting to adapt the experiences and interactions that the student is exposed to based on their level, the curricular goals, their own goals, their interests, their comfort, and their readiness. The first category was facilitation, and this was about seeking out experiences for them or limiting their experiences or exposures, finding the right opportunities, thinking about what's prioritized, what's emphasized in what they're exposed to, and sometimes fostering or attempting to facilitate a certain type of critical thinking. So it could mean opening the doors to everything, as this respondent suggests. When an opportunity comes, we seek which student could gain from it, but also about matching it to the appropriate student. The second category was exchange of information, and here it's about the communication of student needs between all the players. For sure the preceptors, but also the nurses, the administrative staff on the unit, and as well the schools and the student. And so it's a collecting program information and collecting information about goals from the student, but there was also some give and take there, exchange among the group, reciprocal flow of information. And it was really seen by units as central to how structuring to meet goals was going to be done. All units made comments that communication was extremely important, and there was a link with the earlier sub-theme that we saw, openness, that openness was maybe very important for being able to do this, particularly for the exchange of information and the facilitation work. So in terms of our discussion, we identified that the design we used was successful. By talking about beliefs about the learning environment, we were able to get an idea about pedagogy on the successful teaching units, what they believed about learning, because the environment is the learning, is the teaching in this contextual approach. We also saw some consistencies with the literature. It was consistent, the results, the ideas and the beliefs on the units were consistent with a theory about contextual learning, and specifically with the concept of culture being very important in contextual learning, and we saw the importance of culture in our results. There are beliefs about valuing the student contributions on the units, and these were consistent with models about student-centered learning environments. And as well, we saw some of the things that students are said to value in their learning environment that we saw in the empirical research with students' opinions and students' experience came out in terms of what was valued and seen as important on the unit. So that was really nice to see that congruence. Finally, we saw a tension between this idea of inclusion, where students are part of the team, they're really like one of the nurses, and versus the idea of protection, where they have a special role and they're protected as students, so maybe they're a little different. And this paradox is discussed in the workplace learning literature, but doesn't really appear in the nursing preceptorship literature specifically, so it might be something to explore further. So we're able to develop some early recommendations that could be instituted at the institute level or the unit level for units or institutions who want to improve their clinical learning environment. The idea is that we will have follow-up with a workshop at the institution to further develop these type of recommendations. So firstly, at the institution level, we would suggest developing a stated vision for the optimal contextual learning environment, but one that's broad enough that the individual cultures in place on the units can be compatible with the institution vision, to help units to adapt the institution vision to their particular context. And that could maybe be done through some kind of forum, maybe even similar to this type of focus group approach. And to support units to uncover any dissonance between their core beliefs on the unit and the approaches that they're using. And that might mean making available to them people who are expert in education. And at the level of unit leadership, we would recommend that unit leaders adopt a unified vision and a harmonized approach to hosting students, and that they try to investigate and develop a model for return on investment that's most resonant with their team, and then that could become a basis for a lasting culture on the unit that's a foundation for this idea of willingness, this idea of investment in students. So I want to make a special thanks to all the participants who took time out of their day to join us in our focus groups, to Susan Dwyer and all the staff at CPSD for their help and support, to Dr. Arnert and Dr. Purden for following us through the course for the last year and a half, and especially to our supervisors, Louise Murray and Jane Chambers Evans. If there's any questions?
Yes.
In terms of the things we investigated, the question is whether there's a difference between the emerging units and the established units. And what we found in terms of what we were asking about, what their beliefs are and what their basic approaches were in terms of those beliefs of establishing the environment, is that they were really consistent. And I think it speaks to the fact that we were seeking best case examples. They were just two different types of best case examples. So the emerging units are definitely on the right track and on the same track as the established units. Do you have anything to add?
The question was, how did we choose the units? We made, there was a list of five criteria, which I unfortunately don't remember off the top of my head. From this criteria, we made a list for both the established and emerging units, and we approached each one based on the order on that list. Some of the inclusion was that they have, first of all, either the history of accepting students, a history of having good communication with nursing administration and or the institution. I can't remember the others off the top of my head.
Some units had too much on their plate. Mm-hmm. I mean, units are really busy. Unit leadership are really busy. Many units had too much on their plate. But, I mean, we only approached maybe twice as many as we have in our...
Yeah. It was the biggest challenge was scheduling a focus group where at a time that everyone could be present.
I have a question regarding the focus groups.
Mm-hmm.
From your experience, what were kind of the pro and cons of
The question is, what are some of the pros and cons of conducting focus groups in our study? The biggest con was scheduling the focus group. It was almost impossible to get five people in the room at the same time during their working day. Some of the advantages were that the participants really collaborated and worked off each other. They really brainstormed ideas together.
In terms of our goal of trying to look at a unit picture rather than looking at an administration picture versus a preceptorship picture or staff picture, it helped us to accomplish that perspective by bringing all the players of the unit together at one time in discussion.